I'm recording now.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Alec, for meeting me at this
Absolutely.
Time. It is Wednesday, April 23rd at 12:18 p.m.
Quick, sneaky lunchtime record.
That's
lunch
right.
hour record.
It looks like you are on break from your job as manager of Circuit City or whatever you're doing.
I got my shitty ass polo on, and then as you notice, I've got a fucking eye sty or whatever. So it looks like I got punched in the fucking eye.
Yeah, it's you all right there, bud?
It hurts, but it doesn't hurt that bad. It doesn't hurt enough to not do the show.
Okay, that's good. Thank God we don't release the video feed, because you look terrible.
No, thanks, man.
I got to cover up that part of my shit.
What's going on, y'all? Like you said, it's Wednesday. We were not able to record yesterday night as we usually are.
Yeah.
Connor was busy.
Yeah.
Connor was tired from work.
Things have kind of been, I was thinking about, like, can I talk about what's going on at work? And I don't think I can. I'll just say that, like, we had some budget cuts. That is kind of out of our control, and man, I wish I could talk about it. I really wish I could talk about it, because it's like kind of funny and ties into something that I wanted to talk about in the episode, which is the, you know, one thing to talk about is the rise of the conservative Gen Z influencer.
Oh yes,
yeah,
we will be talking about it, folks.
So yeah, we have like less than an hour, so let's just like. Hit it.
Yeah.
So
do you want to start with Gen Z influencers? Do you want to?
We can. You know, I came across this Twitter account, which we'll definitely be probably doing a longer form episode on in the future. This kid named Nick Shirley on X, the Everything app.
Shirley, you're joking.
This kid he's young. He looks like he's probably like 23, 24. Like Gen Z, he talks very, very fast and doesn't enunciate his words, so they all kind of like slur together. But he posts a lot of videos of just him doing conservative things, I guess. I don't know. The one that came across my way is that he went to CCOT, the terrorism confinement center in El Salvador, and he's just like walking in front of them and saying like, these people will never see the light of day. They have even asked the prisoners to take off their shirts so they could show off some of their tattoos. As you can see right here, you can see all the tattoos from the 18s on their chest to the 13s. And he's asking, are you still proud to be a gangster? And the prisoners, he cuts out their response, because I'm sure they're like, fuck yes, I'm going to kill you if I ever get out of here.
Responds in Spanish.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, this is good, right? Like we should unequivocally say all these videos presumably are like, I don't want to use the word fascist, but just like right-wing authoritarian apologia, where he's like, they're doing prison the right way.
Absolutely.
By implementing slave labor. And it's like, well, that's actually not, we do that here
yeah.
too, but
they do, they know. Do, another video he does in El Salvador. I guess he does like the prison tour of El Salvador, cause he goes mm-hmm. to a different prison. Which is, hang on, hopefully the audio doesn't start, in a video called Inside the World's Most Unconventional Prison, which is in El Salvador. It's, he doesn't have the name of the prison here, or wait, does he? La Esperanza. La Esperanza, which operates under the plan Cero Ocio, which I believe translates to no downtime. Hang on.
But this is critically, this is not CCOT, right? This is
right.
another location. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
This is another one where all the people, all the prisoners in this prison are, you know, they have no, it's a certain word. It's like downtime, recreation. It might be no recreation, but I don't speak Spanish. Sorry. I can pretty much say donde está baño,
yeah,
and right. once upon a time I could say dos cervezas.
Una cerveza, por
yeah.
favor.
But yeah, so he goes to this prison where you're basically if you're a prisoner there, you are working all day on, you know, making clothes for the prisons as well as the hospital systems in El Salvador and for the government. And if you work there, every day you work there, you get 2 days taken off your sentence. So you just like work to reduce your sentence.
It's a prison sweatshop.
It's a prison sweatshop. Absolutely. Yeah. There's also classes that you can take so that when you get out of prison, you, you know, have skills to help you get a job. But the thing that kind of made me scratch my chin a little bit was they said, even the instructors and professors of the classes are prisoners.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is it something? And I talked to you about this yesterday. Is it something where it's like, oh, we finally have a prisoner who's like got a PhD in philosophy. Now we can teach a philosophy class. Or is it, we caught you at a protest and now you're going to fucking prison.
We got to arrest more of these MBAs. Well, I mean, from what I glean from you watching it, Connor, there is no real explanation for like what that relationship is, right? For like why they're in there and why they have certain skills. I mean, I assume they're not investigating, you know, MBAs just so they can shovel them off to the prison to have them, you know, like do all the purchasing that a prison has to do.
Yeah, it would be very silly to be like, we arrested a bunch of Marxist professors so we could have them teach philosophy in prison.
What's up, man? Yeah, we're doing a sneaky lunchtime record. We have never done it before.
We have never done this before.
It's the only time we can fit it in because he didn't want to do it yesterday. Okay. We're talking about El Salvador. El Salvador.
El Salvador, which means the savior.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Funny name. But yeah, it's, you know, it's just funny that they say, like, this is the world's most unconventional prison. Like, these people aren't allowed to leave. It's not like they have, like, weekend, what's it called? Not furloughs, where you're allowed to go work for a weekend, like in England.
Yeah, right.
So obviously, my knowledge of the prison system is not the best because I don't know all the terminology.
It's just very weird to see like this kind of stuff coming out of. I mean, I guess this is right. This is, you know, me and Connor being, you know, boomers or whatever, 30 year old boomers. But it's just weird to hear this kind of like Fox News nonsense, you know, like bullshit coming out of like, you know, the mouth of like a 22-year-old.
From the mouth of babes.
For likes on TikTok or whatever, all the like Trump guys on TikTok. And by the way, right, we should mention that this kid has like real access, right? Like he's there's no possible way that this kid is just going to El Salvador to tour these places to make these videos on his own, right? So in some fashion, this is like a media operation of the Trump administration, right? Yeah. Undoubtedly.
I mean, he's got another video where he's it's called Inside Trump's White House in 2025. He goes to the Oval Office and he gets to ask Donald Trump a question. And like the question is quite a layup of a question.
How essential is it for you guys to be locking up these prisoners? And do you think more presidents should follow suit like you guys as far as taking a hard stance on crime here in the United States?
Well, I do. I think everybody has to. The president said it better than anybody.
And after I had somehow managed to get out my one question, Donald Trump opened up the room for more questions, and him and CNN went right back at it.
I wish I could say I'd link it to the in the show notes, but I kind of don't want to give this guy. I feel bad enough that we're talking about him.
I mean, it's propaganda. It's right up there with everything else that we talk about. You know,
that's true.
I think it goes to show you, like, for all the kind of Democratic efforts to get their word out, right? Like their version of this is, you know, some kid in college that's showing you the numbers, right, and talking about enthusiasm for Kamala, and it's not like red meat in the same way that this is, right? This is like this presents itself to be kind of like infotainment, basically, right? As like this addendum, this like appendix, right, to like the policy of the administration, and going like, well, I mean, if what you're imagining is like a decrepit prison hellhole, right, which CECOT most certainly is, here's a different version of this where we engage in sweatshop labor. Look at all these fucking you know, Latinos that are forced to do this, you know, by some sentencing structure, at which the obvious analog is we could do that here, right? Or it's good for us to participate in this. This is like, this is what like the libs won't let us do, presumably in our prison.
I mean, think about it. Think of all the money I wasted on that stupid coding boot camp. I should have just gone to jail and learned how to do JavaScript.
You should have just turned yourself into the police and gone, like, in El Salvador, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, I like smoke mad weed. Can I learn how to code in Harris County Jail, please?
Yeah. It's all, I mean, given that it's laundering, you know, like, ultimately, this is just like a laundromat for extrajudicial deportation and like, I keep saying deportation and extradition. It's not that. It's just rendition. It's just like literally like getting kidnapped off the street and sent here.
For the listeners, Alec, can you explain the three?
Yeah. So deportation, I mean, I think this bears some discernment, right? It's kind of important to discern these things. Deportation is a legal judicial process, right, that you go through, where you are afforded at least kind of a conference, if not a hearing with a judge, right, where some kind of legal standard. These things are not like ideal, I think a lot more people get deported than probably should, but it's some form of judicial review of whether or not the U.S. state can just grab you, right, and then without actual charge, get you out of the country to, you know, deport you basically to your country of origin or whatever they designate your country of origin, right? That's deportation. Extradition is the removal of a person at the request of a foreign party, usually by treaty, that has committed a crime within, you know, arguably within the bounds of that other country, right? So like El Salvador calls up the United States and says, you've got a drug trafficker, right, that escaped to the United States that has temporary protective status. We would like you to give him to us so that we can try him for drug trafficking or whatever, him or her, you know. So extradition is another formal process, right? And by the way, one that is literally enshrined in law. What has been going on, right, with Kilmar and with several other notables, right, in the recent news, is just like rendition, right? They just grab you off the street. There is no judicial review, and then they just ship you, right? They call it deportation, but it doesn't follow any of the legal standards for that. So it's really no different than any government just grabbing you, right? Like sending you to, you know, some CBP facility, right, to be held. I mean, it's not different than like a CIA fucking torture facility, right?
Yeah.
And I will, you know, I need to correct myself sometimes, but I don't want to call it deportation. I don't want to call it extradition because it's not that, right?
How far away? I think we talked about this on another episode, but how far away do you think we are from America just like buying foreign land to build super prisons like this?
I mean, the thing about it is that I think streamlining this, right, for anybody who's looked at the numbers, it's way easier to just pay El Salvador to do it.
Okay.
Right? Like countries like that, right? Where they will happily accept a check to do basically whatever the fuck we want, which is already like a structure that we've, you know, enshrined with, by the way, CIA black sites and stuff. Although, I mean, those are black sites and you don't actually know like who built them. Are the ones in Poland like a decommissioned factory, just a basement of one that, you know, those guys can put a padlock on? Or did they build a little, you know, a little office building, right, where they do all the torture in? Who knows,
yeah.
Right? But that seems to be the way. I thought you were going to ask the question, right? Like, how far are we away from doing this to just citizens of the United States? And, you know, it bears repeating again, right? Like, once you break that judicial process, a lot of people have just kind of asserted out of the blue that, oh, no, this is the thing that, you know, it's bad, but these are not citizens of the United States. I see no threshold by which it would be any different to do it to citizens, right? They don't care. There's no judicial review.
Well,
right?
that's why I ask about, like, buying land in foreign countries, because, you know, technically it would be United States soil somewhere to Guantanamo Bay. But then it's just, you know, we've also talked about like this administration doesn't really seem to care about the finer things of the technicalities of the law.
Yeah, one, they don't care. And two, like one of their arguments has been, right, ironically, that would hurt them in some sense, because at least the argument that they've made with Kilmar, right, against a court order that said, basically, you fucked up. You admitted that you fucked up. You have to try to get this guy back, right? The judiciary can't necessarily specify in what way, but you got to give it. You have to make some attempt, right?
Yeah.
And the first excuse that the executive gave was, well, he's in a foreign country now. We can't just go get him, right? We could ask for him back, but we don't have any jurisdiction there. So, as you're saying, right, like buying up land in a foreign country, right? Like, in a way that would eliminate possibly that some form of that excuse.
By the way, I got to say about Kilmar, you know, I definitely was a little scared that he had died because Trump administration admitted to fucking up and then walked it back. And they wouldn't allow Van Hollen to see him when he went down to El Salvador. But what do you know?
In case you haven't seen, Van Hollen is a congressman or a senator?
He's a senator from Maryland.
He's a Maryland senator. He went down to El Salvador and caused a big fuss and basically was given audience at some stupid fucking cafe. They wheeled Kilmar, this guy that was deported, this guy from Maryland that was deported. They basically wheel him in and sit him at, like a little cafe table.
Oh,
you know,
that's not what I saw, Alec. I thought he was kicking back with tequila drinks and partying it up.
I mean, talk about propaganda, right? Like the Bukele's administration set it up to where there were like pina colada glasses that were like empty with like like cherries on top, right? And so because they knew they were going to be photographing and I guess the insinuation there, and I have seen some MAGA people kind of. Right, obviously notice this, is that, oh, he's not even in prison. He just seems to be, like, hanging out at some kind of resort, sipping pina coladas. And it's like, this is the cheapest, it is, like, the cheapest visual kind of propaganda that you could possibly do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, like, very lazy for people to fall for, but, like, any excuse, right? Any port in a storm, any excuse to kind of try and poke a hole in the fact that we just, like, you know, sent this guy to the gang prison for no reason.
And hey, shout out to Van Hollen for doing this, because this kind of thing did inspire follow up action. Senator Ed Markey, he went down to Louisiana to try and help his constituent, Rumeysa Ozturk, the woman who was just like fucking kidnapped off the street. There's security footage of her just being abducted by ICE agents. So yeah, this stuff matters. And I know you and I have talked, I can't remember if we've talked on the pod, but we have talked privately, like, what is going on? Do any of these like empty gestures mean anything? Like Cory Booker's filibuster, the Bernie AOC rallies. And I think we're seeing that, like, when you do take action, if you're the first person to do something, it's going to trickle down and inspire some people. Shout out to Harvard University, by the way, for standing up to the Trump administration and making Columbia look absolutely like getting dog walked.
Yeah, when you're getting embarrassed by, like, when you're doing less than fucking Harvard is doing, I mean, that really shows you something. I mean, I await. I think Markey met with Khalil as well, I think, yesterday. So, like, I'm glad to see any Democrats, moving on this and doing something about it. It is heartening, because at least at first it seemed like it was just radio silence. Yeah. And you'll notice, by the way, this is not party leadership, right?
Yeah.
These are people in the progressive wing. These are, the kind of people that are closer to my politics, because, Chuck Schumer, go fuck yourself, man. You're useless, dog.
And what about Hakeem Jeffries?
he did do a protest vote, right? And that's good.
All right. The last thing I'll say about this Nick Shirley guy, this one's actually like a little funny, even if the things that are being said are really like shocking and depressing, but it's called Inside Ireland's Dangerous Migrant Crisis. So Nick Shirley goes to Ireland and he finds basically the Irish version of your drunk ass uncles and aunts who post like weird conspiracy theories on Facebook. And it's just, while the rhetoric they're saying is hateful, like, it's just kind of funny to see these drunk Irish people be like, oh, these Muslims are coming to our country and ruining things.
Yeah. Just like methed out looking like Irish people.
They look rough.
And anywhere you go, right? Despite the fact that Ireland, I would argue, historically speaking and politically is much closer aligned to a state that I would, I'd very much appreciate seeing more of in the world, right? That like Ireland has a tendency towards a kind of solidarity that you don't really see showcased, especially in Europe, right? Yeah. You're going to find these kind of freaks everywhere. I don't let it speak to my opinion about the Irish, right?
Yeah, I definitely love the Irish. I believe in the Republic of Ireland. Get England out of Ireland. Shout out Kneecap. I think you're awesome. Do you know Kneecap, Alec?
I do not know.
Oh, they're awesome. They're an Irish rap group. You should definitely check them out, listen to them a little bit. But they were at Coachella this past weekend. And their
Israel guys, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw on Fox and Friends, I believe, but one of the panelists said, and then this band Kneecap, who I've never heard of. It's like, of course you haven't. You are a 45-year-old woman.
I mean, yeah, like these, you know, those. Is there anything more to say about Coachella? I don't fucking think so. I barely know what's going on unless there's like controversy or whatever.
No, I mean, if I've got a friend that worked weekend two at Coachella who may or may not listen to this podcast, I'm not sure. But if you're listening, shout out to you. Keep the faith. Stagecoach is almost over.
I mean, I think the reality for the Shrilly Kid is like you could literally go to like Antarctica if there was like a population there. That'd be, you know, you'd find one guy that can complain about like immigrants of the kind that you would like them to complain about, right? This is just like if you work hard there's a lot more like EDL guys, right? Like the English Defense League. There's like the freak, like neo-Nazi. I don't know if they're neo-Nazis. They smell like neo-Nazis. Okay, like. Those guys in England, I think that it's probably easier to find those guys than it is to find their variant in like Ireland. But they're everywhere.
Right? I would love to see a Nick Shirley interviewing Keep Antarctica White protesters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these motherfuckers do it in Poland, right? And like, I'll tell you one thing: there's not a lot of like immigration to Poland from, you know, brown countries, right? Like there just isn't. There are some Asian people. There are some like Turkish people, right? And like if you ask, right, on any given, especially like in the past couple of years, if you're like, there's a terrible immigration problem in Poland, right? And somebody agrees with you and shakes their head yes, right? Like they're not going to be talking about Syrians or like Moroccans or something. They're going to be talking about Ukrainians, right? They're going to be talking about other like white Slavs, right? So, like I say, right, it's just you know, I throw that in the garbage can, and I like anybody that sees that kind of shit of like, you know, Europeans being racist on the street that look like, you know, meth heads, basically, because they really do tend to look like meth heads.
Yeah, same with the Irish in that video Nick Shirley did. And look, Alec, if there's anything we can take away from your description of European bigotry, hey, it takes all kinds, you know. And I would
sure. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. I'm just giggling at the idea of finding like Nick Shirley finding like the one bigot remaining in like an Antarctic lab station. Just thinking about that video of like the last Jews of Afghanistan, but it's like the last bigots of Antarctica.
I'm thinking like, I mean, has he ever gone to like the Balkans, right? They'd be like Moroccans. I'm just talking about Albanians, right? It's like, anyway,
we'll see. He's got a lot of videos. He has so many followers. He has 496 subscribers, and his videos get like millions upon millions of views. Let's see, Inside America's City of Zombies, Kensington, Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. So,
asking Harvard students who they are voting for in 2024.
Epic.
IRL confronting anti-Trump protesters who attacked me. Confronting anti-Elon protesters at Tesla.
It's going to be a matter of time until this dude is found to be like a sex pest, an abuser, shits his pants, has some weird sex fetish. Right. Or like that's always how, because I think you mentioned, right, when you were first like describing him, isn't Nick Shirley still, but like how what was it? It had similar vibes to the Kent State gun girl or whatever.
Kentucky
State, I think. I cannot remember her name. But see, that's how long it's been, right? Yeah. Like the girl who used to do walk arounds of like college campuses and be like, actually, what do you think about this? Well, actually, and she pooped her pants and she went away forever, right? Like she's
gone. Caitlin Bennett,
there you go.
Yeah, Kent State University. She had an AR-10 rifle on her like graduation photo or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's like purposeful agitators, right? Like you never hear about Ben Shapiro anymore, and he like lasted longer than most of them. Crowder, what the fuck is he doing, right? Everybody saw him like abusing his pregnant wife, right? Like, fuck it, man. It's just a matter of time. It's just a ticking time bomb for all these freaks.
Yeah. All right, let's move along to something else. We want to touch on the Larry David essay?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, by the way, it's a follow-up to something we talked about last week, was Bill Maher, dreaded, disgusting pig man Bill Maher, went off about how libs don't give Trump enough credit after he had lunch with him, and he figured out that Trump is actually very nice, I guess, or whatever. He was human, Connor. I've just never seen him laugh before, and it's like, shut the fuck up, Bill. Well, Larry David, I guess, rewrote his little speech as though he was talking about having lunch with Der Führer Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. It's a New York Times guest essay, Larry David, My Dinner with Adolf. It's pretty funny. We can link it to the show notes. It's a little long, so I don't know if we want to read it on the show.
It was literally word for word, I think, Bill Maher's monologue, right, with just stuff replaced, which I was like, that's, you know, I get it, right? That's fine. I don't disagree with him, but...
I'll read a couple of passages that stood out to me. He was wearing a tan suit with a swastika armband and gave me an enthusiastic greeting that caught me off guard. Frankly, it was a warmer greeting than I normally get from my parents, and it was accompanied by a slap on my back. I found the whole thing quite disarming. I joked that I was surprised to see him in a tan suit, because if he wore that out, it would be perceived as un-Führer-like. That amused him to no end, and I realized I'd never seen him laugh before.
Suddenly,
he seemed so human.
And then, by the way, there's only like 5-word change in that from the monologue, right? The tan suit and the armband, right? Obviously, but that's literally straight up from the Bill Maher monologue. Disgusting, right? Disgusting.
Okay, I'm going to read a whole paragraph here because it's very, very funny. And this made me laugh so hard. He said he was starving and led us into the dining room, where he gestured for me to sit next to him. Goering immediately grabbed a slice of pumpernickel, whereupon Hitler turned to me, gave me an eye roll, then whispered, "Watch, he'll be done with his entire meal before you've taken 2 bites. That one really got me. Goering, with his mouth full, asked what was so funny, and Hitler said, "I was just telling him about the time my dog had diarrhea in the Reichstag." Goering remembered. How could he forget? He loved that story, especially the part where Hitler shot the dog before it got back into the car.
Jesus.
Then a beaming Hitler said, "Hey, if I can kill Jews, gypsies, and homosexuals, I can certainly kill a dog."
Woo.
Larry David, never stop, please, for the love of God. It's so funny. he's Larry David is a known critic of Trump. There's that great interview he did with Chris Wallace where Chris Wallace just asked him, like, "Has this affected you at all?" And he says, no. And then he just goes on this rant about how horrible Trump is. It's like, but no, you know, it hasn't affected me.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great comic actor. I love Larry David. I don't feel as grossed out by like this as I do like Bill Maher's, but like these like libs doing owns, I like, part of me has to like roll my eyes a little bit, because
really,
like, Larry, like, yeah, I mean, like, dude, Larry's had some pretty bad takes in the past, and everybody wants to get in on, you know, of calling Trump Hitler again. I get it, right? And by the way, he's not far from it, whatever this far right authoritarianism, or called fascism if you want, that Trump's doing. That's fine. It's just like, I'd like to see this energy, right, for criticizing the liberal establishment, Mr. David. Thank you. Right. I'm doing purity testing, Connor. I'm doing it, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, all right. It's just funny. I'd love to see him perform. I want to see him perform it. I want him to do this as a skit, right? Not just as an op-ed.
I mean, did you see the it was the season that came out in like 2016 or 2017 where Larry realizes he can be left alone. Is it the Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
He realizes he can be left alone by people if he just wears a MAGA hat.
Yes.
So he just like wears it in public so nobody will talk to him.
See, I think that's funnier and like a little bit. Anyway, I think that's like a little bit more even politically valent than like this.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny.
It's so much funnier.
Well, it is funny because we're also seeing that like he's being very careful not to criticize RFK Jr. too much, given that he worked with his wife for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's married to his wife.
Well, not anymore.
Married and divorced.
They got a divorce in the show.
In the show. Oh man, RFK Jr. somehow looks worse every time I see him. Now that he's not running, he's not in the spotlight as much, and every time I see him, like, or hear him, I'm just like, oh god, I forgot. It's like worse than you remember.
Oh my god, he's so brutal. He's such a bozo. Building, he wants to put together a list of people who have autism in the country, which is bananas. He went off on that speech about how autistic people will never be able to play baseball. They'll never be able to live a life independently.
Oh, I think he said they'll never pay taxes.
They'll never pay taxes. No. That's just Elon.
That's an indicator of a quality of life in the United States. The fact that you have to pay. That's up there with fall in love, right? Yeah. Have a fulfilling, career and or hobby, right? Enjoy family time.
If you have to pay taxes, you got it pretty good in this country.
Yeah, these low-life autistics never paying taxes.
It's just not only did he run his mouth off saying that autistic people are just incapable of any kind of independent function, which they absolutely are. And if you haven't seen it, go watch Love on the Spectrum to see like they're very capable of living full lives. If you don't know any autistic people, which I think I know several. okay. Well, no, I used to have two autistic roommates.
No. I was just like, I wonder if I'm one of them. I wonder if I'm on the list.
Get tested if you really want to know.
No, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. All right. But not only that, but then he, there was a clip going around today and yesterday a little bit where he's talking about look at all these diseases I've never heard of. Why do five of my kids have allergies? I didn't know anyone that had a peanut allergy growing up. I didn't know anybody that had asthma or rheumatoid arthritis. It's like, yeah, dude, you're the Kennedys. No one wanted to talk about how Rosemary Kennedy lost her mind till you cut her fucking brain open.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that is a family of even crazier diseases, right? Asthma's pretty normal, dude. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
What about your Uncle JFK's sex addiction?
insane alcoholism, right? I don't know. Woo! His uncle's head just did that, by the way. That's gotta be a disease.
Yeah, that's why he's the CIA didn't kill JFK. Red Dye 40 did.
Yeah.
he had a Mike and Ike and his head exploded. Yeah.
It's when they started putting filters on the cigarettes.
So one of the things that I kind of wanted to touch on is something that you've been talking to me about a couple days. And this is related to, Trump comparing or Larry David comparing Trump to Hitler in his guest essay. Alec, you've been talking about Danny Bessner, one of the hosts of American Prestige, a great left-wing take on American foreign policy podcast. But you've been talking about Danny Bessner has some qualms with using the term fascism to describe American politics right now. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just parrot basically his opinion, but for a long time, and I think I've said I feel comfortable, right? Calling it fascism basically is shorthand, right? I mean, it's risen to the level where people are calling it that, and that's fine, right? You need a word that people can openly express and make comparisons to politically, right? That draws some kind of water, right? That's so surprising when you hear it that people go oh shit, why the fuck do you think that? But his argument is that, he's an academic. So his argument is that politically, academically, it's not particularly descriptive, right? It doesn't it depends. It entirely depends on what your definition of fascism is. And if you look at the two examples, I mean, you could talk about Franco as Spain, but I mean, you're going to be looking at Italy and Germany, right? In the early 20th century, right? Their periods, the Nazi period and the fascist period. That whatever whatever the defining features of that fascism are, and they are different, right? But they share some pretty valid features. You're just not going to see in the MAGA movement in the same way, right? And the one thing I would point to is the insane militarism, like volunteer militarism that defined both of them. And you could say well, the Patriot Front exists. Well, January 6th happened or whatever, right? And it's man, Triumph of the Will is on YouTube. Go watch it, right? You're never gonna see Trump guys. Some of them will wear the hat, They're not wearing a uniform and pretending to be in like brigades, right? And that might be a distinction without a difference, but if it's one of the defining features, then it means that it's kind of not literally that, right? And the other thing is, we have to admit that while it can be totally acceptable. You want to interrupt me, Connor?
Well, yeah, I had a question about you saying, like, you know, they're not dressing up and pretending like they're in brigade. What about like the Boogaloo Boys or the Oath Keepers?
Yeah, where do we see it? I mean, they're not integrated into the party if they even exist at all.
Yeah, and also, like, where are they?
Where are they? Exactly, right? Like the closest that you can get, for real, right, are the Patriot Front fucking assholes, right? People who I despise, who are literally trying to do American brown shirt stuff, right? These are the guys that basically walk around looking like they work at, like, Office Depot, except they have, like, white masks on. They have, like, a brown ball cap, a blue shirt, and like khaki pants, right? And they're like protesters, mostly like counter protesters, and they are avowed white nationalists, right? Like their flag has like the fascies on it, like literally a fascies on it, the bundle of sticks with the axe. They know what they are, and they're absolute white nationalists. And I've only seen them in videos, right? I've seen like a sticker in a metropolitan area somewhere, and like these things exist, but they're not integrated into the party in the way that, like, you know, the black shirts and the brown shirts were. And when Besser says stuff like that, right, he's saying, well, we're not there yet. If possible, that could come, but like it hasn't come now. But the other thing that I'd point to about like just being kind of tentative about using the word fascism is like there is a drastic overuse of it. Do I mean overuse of it? I mean that I really don't think that fascism has a particular valence in like American discourse, because it is pretty like commonly used and commonly ascribed to things that aren't it, right? It's basically a slur, right? It's something that you call someone who has political beliefs that you would like to portray as beyond the pale, right? And a lot of times people use it in ways that I would totally agree with, right? That I'd say, oh yeah, absolutely. That seems, that seems extremely bad, right? Far right, authoritarian, or just outright racist, right? Or revanchist in some way, that are detestable, right? But I wonder if it just doesn't hold a lot of water today in the United States, because whenever you say that, a lot of people's seeming responses are like eye rolling. Right. They're just like, oh, brother, here's another guy. Like, here's a lefty calling everything fascism. What's going to be fascist now? Right. Like eating meat. And because like our culture is given it that connotation. Right. Yeah. And I don't know. It's I don't know.
How far away are we from, I don't know if you recall when Steve Bannon during the Biden administration, I believe maybe the first Trump administration, he said, like, let them call you a racist. Let them call you a nationalist. Yeah. Who cares? Like, how far until it's like, yeah, I'm a fascist, whatever. Like,
that's the Patriot Front argument. Yeah.
Because people have called you a communist and you're like, and?
They ask you to describe what a fascist is and they go, yeah, I believe all that. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if that's what that word means to you, then I am that. Right? I mean, at least if when you talk to them online. Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, like, another problem that I have with this, and like a point in the favor of the problem with this is like a political metonym, right? Is that I think a lot of Americans, when they do that shorthand, right, and they say when they do the eye roll, right, and they say, oh, fascism, what else is fascism, brother? Is America just a fascist country? Right, like I would say yes, right? Because if it's not literally all the stuff that, like, if you're not going by the strict definition of it looks like Hitler, it looks like Mussolini, right? Then if you just describe things that the state does, right, like locking up immigrants, right, or like having, you know, a de facto or actual legal definitions of like racial or class categories, right? Those you're going to describe a bunch of things that the state has done under fascism that sound a lot like things that America has historically done or continues to do, right? And I think a lot of normies, right, are not willing to swallow that conclusion, right? That right. You say like, well, look, I'm describing all these things that fascism does, and here's a list of examples of us doing it, right? Are we a fascist country? And their response is going to be, well, no, it doesn't feel like we live in fascism, right? And then the question is, well, you know, I guess you're not an immigrant then, right? Like, yeah. I guess you're not a guy that's at Guantanamo, right? Mm-hmm. It feels like fascism to those guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anywho, but that's my whole like that's my whole spiel. I'd preface the entire conversation by saying like I probably have used called stuff fascistic. And I probably will continue to.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation, and especially one that, like, I think has academic bleed over. That's maybe worth talking about on this podcast, right?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring it up because I have made the argument before that using Nazi to describe your political enemies in America is, you know, and keep in mind, I don't believe that propaganda is a good or bad thing. I think it's a tool, but I do believe that it is a propagandizing of the other, your political other. It makes it really easy and concise to describe, like, this is what American fascism looks like. This is what American Nazism looks like. Yeah. And you just use that term.
It's not particularly descriptive, right?
No. Like and Trump does the same thing when he says, like, these radical leftist anarchist Marxists. Yeah. And I'm like,
when he calls everybody a communist, right? Yeah. He's like, welfare is communism. They take my money and they give it to someone else.
Right.
He's doing the same thing. We're all kind of doing it. And I don't know. I think we could avoid that, and we might even be better off for it. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to die on this hill, you know, that hard.
Hell no. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, because I know you got to get back to, putting away hard drives and RCA cables. We have some actual government propaganda rewriting history going on.
Let's go.
If you stop the podcast right now and go to covid.gov, COVID.gov, you can see lab leak, the true origins of COVID-19.
Or if you go to the White House official Twitter account and scroll down for a little bit, you'll see a tweet that in all caps says, definitely don't visit COVID.gov with the like, blushing hand over mouth emoji. And like everybody's response, by the way, to just that tweet was like, this is so fucking embarrassing. Like, this makes me want to fucking die, right? Like, the fact that these, you know, like literally like institutions that lord over, you know, life and death in so many cases for people, right, are just like, I think somebody pointed out, like, tweeting like the Arby's account or whatever. Like, it's so fucking cringe, man.
Yeah.
And then Connor, we were talking on the phone. He's like, wait, so did you actually go to COVID.gov? And I was like, no, fuck no. And he's like, you need to do it.
Yeah.
So Connor, what's at COVID.gov?
COVID.gov is the official Trump account of what happened around COVID-19. And there's a very handsome photo of our president, Donald Trump, standing there with a binder. He's looking very professional, like he's on his way to a business meeting with just the facts.
Yes, hell yeah.
And they're saying that the proximal origin of SARS-CoV-2 publication, which was used repeatedly by public health officials and the media to discredit the lab leak theory, was prompted by Dr. Fauci to post the preferred narrative that COVID-19 originated naturally, which... We've talked before about this, how on the right you had people saying it was a lab leak in Wuhan. And on the left, you said, no. It was people eating bats in Wuhan in the wet market.
My bit that was stolen by, oh my God.
Someone more famous than us.
No. Holy fuck. My bit that Connor can attest to, I actually did come up with before Shane Gillis did it on his fucking stupid podcast.
Yes.
That, like, isn't it weird that, like, I guess the liberal consensus on what happened during COVID was that Chinese people eat so many bats that they caused us all to get like super flu, right? Given that my entire life growing up, it was, people point out that it's like really racist to say that Chinese people eat like cats and dogs, yeah, right? Like, it's just like, you know how they are over there. They're just wet markets, just like shoveling bats into their mouth. I don't know. That was crazy. But
If you go down this website, there's like 5 points that you know, immediately, quote unquote, debunk this publication. One, the virus possesses a biological characteristic that is not found in nature. Two, data shows that all COVID-19 cases stem from a single introduction into humans. This runs contrary to previous pandemics where there were multiple spillover events. Three, Wuhan is home to China's foremost SARS research lab, which has a history of conducting gain-of-function research, gene-altering and organism supercharging at inadequate biosafety levels. Four, Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Who cares about this stuff? This is like shit from fucking 3 years ago, man.
Alec, this point might actually get you to shut the fuck up.
Because yeah,
point four is Wuhan Institute of Virology researchers were sick with COVID-like symptoms in the fall of 2019, months before COVID-19 was
before COVID at the 19. Market. Yeah, I like
that was so stupid. It's like, yeah, that's when it was found in 2019.
Look, I'm not like a COVID truther. I don't know where the science is on this. I remember people endlessly debating about this shit for years, right? Yeah. About like whether or not it was an escape bioweapon or gain of function or it came from a bat or a fucking pangolin or whatever, right? I don't know where the science is at. I could literally believe any of it. Right. And if their beef is that, like, it looks like CDC covered up a bunch of stuff, including the fact that, like, they went against masks at first and then they said actually masks are important, but like the social distancing shit doesn't really feel like it did anything specific. I probably agree with all that, but it's just like, who's still hung up on this like COVID truther shit in 2025? Trump's president again. Like, shut the fuck up. Who cares about this?
Yeah.
What difference does it make?
It's pretty silly. I'll say I'm with you, Alec. Like, I don't know the science around COVID. If you give me a science article to read, I like kind of go cross-eyed and zone out. But I will say the dumbest fucking people I know, people who believe that Mountain Dew Maui Burst was a sign that the Hawaii fires were going to happen.
Oh, hell yes.
Were sending me stuff about mRNA vaccines. It's like, I'm not gonna watch anything you send me, man.
The dumbest people you know, like, read a bunch of stuff and then became experts. And I will tell you straight up, the one thing that I know is that I don't know anything about fucking virology. And at this point, it doesn't make a fuck anyway. Right. So, like, and I mean, that's outside of like the right, Connor. We were reading through it and like the hypocrisy here is just insane, right? Because it's like,
very insane.
COVID lockdowns hurt the most vulnerable Americans. And it's like, are you the Republican Party? Like, get the fuck out of here with this shit, dude.
Also, never forget that even Republican Party states, like, shut everything down. Greg Abbott shut everything down and was attacked on the right by Alan West, who, you know, from Florida, who came to Texas and, like, changed the Texas GOP.
And there was never an enforced federal mandate, right? That never did end up existing. The government never said, governors, you have to shut down your whatever, right, to, like, get this money. I don't think that ever happened, I recall. It was a thing that people talked about happening, and it's not real. It never did happen. Right. I don't know. It's that, and then, like, the perennial thing, which is, like, you know, I've heard other people say this, but like it bears mentioning, like, which one is it, motherfucker? If COVID is an escaped bioweapon that like either Fauci made or the Chinese made or something, right? And like, is it a bioweapon or does it not matter, right? Like, should you not have to wear a mask at least? Like, should they not shut down your kid's school? It's a fucking bioweapon, asshole. Which one is it? Is it the common cold? Is it like barely made a blip on like the number of people that died, you know, in like 2021 or 2022 or whatever? Mm-hmm. Or is it like a super plague, right? You gotta choose one. It can't be both. It can't be not a big deal. And then you're still fucking talking about it.
It always cracked me up. Like, I, you know, the first experience I had with that kind of mental gymnastics is I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but if not, like, I'm a cancer survivor, so I have like all kinds of, my body's all busted up. I'm immunocompromised.
Yeah, Connor looks like shit. he looks great. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he looks great.
But I had family members that would call me and be like, I just think this thing is all fake, but you should be careful, okay? Like, I'm worried about your health.
Yeah,
like,
I got a lot of that. Yeah.
Okay, dude. But point.
This is all fake, but I still got the vaccine was a crazy one to hear from those guys, right? Like, it's fake. I did get the vaccine the first time I could. I'm above 60, and they say that I could definitely die from this. But Joe Biden invented this, like, the virus or whatever. Look,
I had to get the vaccine because the following week I was protesting outside of a Fuddruckers. I had to be there.
Yeah.
And look, point five on this list is, and this one's interesting to me, by nearly all measures of science, if there was an evidence of a natural origin, it would have already surfaced, but it hasn't. I want to really kind of dig into this this sentence. By nearly all measures of science. It's really weird. And again, I said this before, I will say it again. I am not by any means an expert on COVID, which is something that I will admit that your drunk uncle will not. Like, I am not an expert on this kind of stuff. I do not have a degree in epidemiology. I don't know how that I pay a doctor, so I don't have to think about this stuff. And it's just funny to me that sentence one, but I do look at propaganda rhetoric. So sentence one, the virus possesses a biological characteristic that is not found in nature. So this biological characteristic, it's not found in nature yet, right? And then sentence five, by nearly all measures of science, if there was evidence of a natural origin, it would have already surfaced. Well, again, like maybe it had surfaced. Well,
which one, brother?
Which one?
I mean, you say you're not an epidemiologist. I cannot imagine that anybody that fucking wrote this, like, is. It just doesn't seem that way. Like,
they do point out that the Huanan Seafood Market is 7.5 miles away from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The Huanan
is that close or far?
7.5 miles. You know, what's funny to me is that, like, they try to make it seem like it's so far away. How could the disease break out at the wet market when the Institute of Virology is 7.5 miles away? My friend, the theater I go to go see the movie that I probably caught COVID in and spread around is like 12 miles from my house. Chinese people have cars. They have electric cars that are better than
Teslas.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
You can, it's just their argument. It's just really easy to poke holes in, and they're just dedicating themselves to, yeah, we've got Dr. David Morins and FOIA lady Marge Moore are also talked about in NIH failures, which is probably why they're using this to kind of justify cutting NIH funding, maybe. But there's some pictures of Dr. Fauci covering his face in shame next to his full pardon that Joe Biden gave him.
He did get a pardon. I mean, that is weird, right? Like, I agree. That's kind of fucking weird.
I don't think
that's
weird.
I don't know.
I don't think that's weird. Okay. I think it's just because Fauci was like, hey, dude, Trump won. I really do think they're gonna
kill me.
Yeah, they took away his security detail, and they've been saying that, like, Dr. Fauci is the devil. Dr. Fauci ruined America. My stepdad.
We should have fucking stepped down then. I do not like Fauci. Fuck that guy. You fucked up about the mask. You had to go back on it. You gave them this ammunition to fucking not do it, and it killed, like, probably, I don't know, tens of thousands, if not more, like, American, just because of that. They didn't wear masks because you said they didn't fucking work at first. Dumb fuck. Just get the fuck off the podium.
My stepdad firmly believed that Dr. Fauci created COVID to get Trump out of office.
Oh, God.
So if he believed that, there are people crazier than him who believe that. And, like, yeah, I do. If Thomas,
wait, have you asked him about it now? Because it apparently didn't work. I mean, it didn't last long enough, I guess.
No, we had, like, kind of a big argument that day, and I haven't talked to him since. That was the same day where he said that they should cut all funding to colleges. It's like, I work at a college. Yes. and what was the name of the guy who shot Trump? Something Crooks? Thomas Crooks?
David something Crooks. Yeah,
well, if that guy is crazy enough to
David
go.
David Allen Crooks.
If that guy is David Foster Crooks. If that guy's crazy enough to go out and shoot someone running for president, somebody out there is like, I'm going to kill Fauci because I didn't get to visit my grandma during COVID at the old folks home. Something I wouldn't have done in the first place, but because COVID happened, I get to complain about it.
We're going
to
see if Fauci has, like, plot armor. I mean, they talk about, like, Andrew Cuomo, like, you know, letting all those old people die in the old folks. Like, that's true. I agree with that.
But Andrew Cuomo's also on this.
Hey, get the fucking Justice Department involved then, you piece of shit. You're in charge of the fucking.
They did. They just referred Andrew Cuomo to the Justice Department on criminal charges.
Okay, wait. Okay. I'm getting on board, Connor. I'm digging it now.
Oh no, here we go.
I don't know what you'd take Fauci up for, but no, send Andrew Cuomo to fucking jail. Fuck that guy. Fuck him.
Off he goes. Well,
off he goes.
If you want more information about how COVID was all made up and how decisions were made during a Republican administration.
Yeah, yeah. This is a lot of this is 2020. Yeah. Remember who was president. Jesus.
So fucking stupid.
Although, you can read the 550-page report, which we didn't do and are not going to do, I don't think.
Yeah.
Are you going to read the report?
I might upload it to DeepSeek and ask it to summarize it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll kill an
ocean. Oh, you're doing AI shit? Ah, fuck.
No, I'm doing DeepSeek. It's different because it's Chinese.
You should Twitter search it first, just see if anybody's compiled it, talked about it.
Hey, Nick Shirley read it. All right, let me see what he has to say.
Yeah. I don't know. The World Health Organization thing is really funny because it's like the WHO did it. The WHO did a terrible job. And then it's like because it caved to pressure from Chinese Communist Party. From the CCP and placed China's political interests ahead of its international duties. And it's like, I'm going to need a citation. Like, what the fuck are they talking about?
There are no citations on this thing.
Yeah, there's none. It's basically a list of complaints and then a link to a 550-page PDF.
Yeah, which they talk about, like, nobody's going to read.
They talk about the WHO and like a pandemic treaty at dash may this pandemic via a pandemic treaty may harm the United States. Just no explanation at all. I mean, I don't know. I could Google this on my own, but I'm too busy looking at tweets from flat earthers still. Okay. I'm having fun. Fuck you guys. I'm not going to stop reading their shit. It's awesome.
They were
looking at Mercator masks, Mercator maps and being like, so you're telling me that Africa is wider than Russia despite the fact that it's clearly longer on this map. And it's like, yeah, because it works on a globe, you dumb fuck. That map, the thing that you're pointing out is because it's not, the map that you're looking at isn't on a globe. I love flat earthers, man.
You gotta ask them what they think about this.
They won't respond. Oh, right. If you search any of their things in COVID, watch out. You're going to see a lot of conclusions about Semitic people, maybe, or like Chinese or something. They got some wild takes of flat earthers on COVID.
Bringing it back to RFK, do you remember when RFK Jr. said, like, for some reason, COVID-19 doesn't affect Jews and Chinese people? It's like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
Is
it not? I do remember that. Thinking,
well, that's why China had zero COVID. It's because they were impervious to it.
I do remember seeing that and then thinking, like, is there actually a chance that he could be president? And then, like, now he's just, like, HHS secretary or whatever. It's like, that's almost as bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It turned out there was a 100% chance of him being in the fucking administration, right? Like, high up in the administration.
Just be funny if he's like, no one, when I was growing up, there wasn't COVID. I never heard of COVID.
No one had ever heard of it. Cheryl, get over here. All right. Is that all we got for today, Connor?
That's all we got for today.
Okay.
Luckily, we didn't talk about anything inappropriate. I think there's only a couple of cuts that we need to make because we're coughing and shit. But I'll get this up probably this afternoon.
Oh, follow up to the person who asked me, because I did promise that I would ask my coworker about the moon landing.
Yes.
From several episodes ago. I have. And his response was, we couldn't have the full conversation at the time, and it just hasn't come up again. But I will tell you that his response was cryptic, right? He kind of laughed and he was like, don't even get me started on that. So there's more there. I will keep probing. You just got to let these things happen naturally, though. You can't confront these people. They're your coworkers, right? You don't want to be weird. But if it comes up, I promise I will report back.
Did they listen to the podcast?
Does my coworker listen to the podcast? No.
Okay, then record him. Is Louisiana a single party state?
Yes, it is.
There you go, dog. There you go.
Yeah. I should say that, unfortunately, we're talking to somebody for an upcoming episode. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be.
But something that they said has forced me to be... I mentioned Triumph of the Will because I've been watching a lot of Triumph of the Will. And boy, do I not like watching Nazi propaganda. It's a pretty brutal and incredibly boring. Holy fuck, is this shit insanely boring. Who could the fuck is sitting through Triumph of the Will, dog?
They really
just did not have good movies back then.
When we had Nathan, my brother, on to talk about the Reagan movie, and he talked about like movies that are successful propaganda, and he mentioned Triumph of the Will. Like, Triumph of the Will, I mean, it got people excited, and it's like, ugh,
how
the bar is so low.
I've seen a bunch of shots from it because they spent like a grillion, you know, a German. What was their old money called? Not francs. That's the French. Holy shit! I should know this. Deutschmarks, right? They spent like a gorillion Deutschmarks making this, and like there's a lot of like overhead from like planes of like guys marching through the streets in like Nuremberg over like old bridges and stuff, where the shots are really impressive, right? And then you get out of that, and by the way, you see the big man get out of a fucking car and do the Heil, and it's like, oh Jesus Christ, right? Like, I don't want to be watching this. And then the rest of it, it's just so striking how fucking boring it is, man.
Alec, I'm really sorry. I hate to utterly embarrass you with this, but the term is Reichsmark.
Reichsmark?
That's what the money was during Nazi Germany.
Oh, well, that showed my ignorance. German listeners, get mad at us in the Discord.
Join the Discord and let us know what you think about Alex. Great episode on the German elections.
to the German listener probably was literally on that episode. So. He loved it, and I loved it. That's all that matters.
Shout out to you, Mirko. I'm going to cut that. I mispronounced his name.
Yeah, Mirko. Oh, that's okay. Fine. Great. That's an American pronunciation. Mirko, my bad. That's like Eastern European, even. I don't know. All right, enough of this shit. I gotta go back to work.
All right,
we're literally on our lunch breaks. I gotta go back to work.
Same here. All right, Excelsior Propagandos, and keep your eyes on the skies.
Bye.